his house, leading us. Oh man, we got a new series called Jonah. And if you're not familiar with the story of Jonah, it's gonna be an amazing time learning about his life. And it's a rare look at how I think human the Bible characters are, because we're gonna find that Jonah is doing his best to not do what God wants him to do in his life. And I think that that's so analogous to our lives, and how oftentimes whenever God reveals his will through his word, we have a tendency to want to run. And I've entitled the message today, "You Can Run, But You Can't." Anybody? Oh, you guys are so good. All right, let's keep this going. And so I thought about all the ways that I could intro this topic of what it looks like. And I thought about several metaphors I could use. But sometimes YouTube just does the work for me. And so I thought I would start off with a video clip. And this is what I think it looks like when we oppose God's will. And so I don't even think I need to set it up any further than that. So just think, like, if you are running away from God's will or doing the opposite of God's will, this would be your life. Scene. Yes. The woo-hoo-hoo, wham! People running away from God's will. Woo-hoo-hoo, wham! Think about people in their marriages. They're like, "No, we're just going to do it our way." Woo-hoo-hoo, wham! Parenting. Oh, you know what? What God says about discipline and all that stuff. We want to be liked more than, you know, loved and respected. So let's just let them go, see what they do. Woo-hoo-hoo, wham! I mean, it is consistent if you want to know how it ends. Whenever God says this way and you choose another way, there might be a woo-hoo-hoo, but there will be a wham. And so I hope that as we go through and we look at Jonah's life, that you would begin thinking, how much of your life lines up with what God wants? And I think if I were to summarize the story of Jonah, like, what is the essence of it? It is the value of a soul. And Jonah had lost the value of a soul. And I think that in Christianity, we're going to see some things that we do that might be in opposition to maintaining that value of a soul and the sacrifice it takes to reach a soul and all of those things. And so I just want you to be thinking about that as we go through the book of Jonah. Like, where are you at on the spectrum of God's will? And are you living a life that invests in the saving of souls? So in Jonah chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai. And he said, 'Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me.' But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa and he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord." Now, when we think about verse 1, it says, we get a picture, and I have to do a little teaching here, and then I'll get into some preaching. But I think we get a picture of God's economy when it comes to how he views, let's say, wickedness or sin. And I think that there are some erroneous claims that a skeptics or atheists might come to when it comes to, like, God wanting to save people. People will say, like, "Well, what about the person that's really far from God? Like, how is it fair, X, Y, Z?" And then they come into some kind of economy where it's unjust for God to judge these people because they're in some far distant place. Well, Nineveh is a good counter argument to that. Nineveh is the capital of Assyria. Assyria was one of Israel's arch enemies, and they were wicked. I mean, talking about sacrificing babies on the altar type of wicked. And Their wickedness had come up before God. So we see a picture of how it works is that God is long-suffering. He is able to forbear for many, many times. He's patient. But at some juncture, if we go far enough, if the wickedness exceeds, there's always going to be justice. There's always going to be a finality to sin. And so it says that the wickedness of Nineveh had come up. In other words, they were out of strikes. They were out of chances. Their wickedness had come up, and now it was time for God to rain down on them the justice of their sin. And so he says to Jonah, go and preach to this city, and let's see what happens. Now, spoiler alert, we know that Jonah was struggling because he did not want to see the Ninevites change direction. He wanted them to get what they deserved. And I want to take a moment and kind of show a little bit of the heart of God. And I want us to think about his desire versus what we deserve. If the Ninevites were indeed as wicked as they were, then we would all say, give them judgment. I mean, you're doing these incredibly heinous things. They deserve judgment. Give it to them. And we probably all have some people in our lives that if we were God, we would smite them down. Anybody else have anybody like that? By show of hands? Is anybody? Liars, okay? Everybody has a list, hit list. It's like, God, if you could just smite these people, then my life would be so much better. Isn't it amazing how I think we like, I don't know, we kind of get into a mindset that I just don't like those people, whatever those people are. Maybe it's a boss. Maybe you don't like authority. Sometimes prejudices come into play in our culture. And I don't know. Just sometimes I think we get cynical and we say to God, like, get them. And I thought, what if we flip it around and reverse it and we ask about ourselves, like, what if God gave us what we deserved when we were at our worst? You guys thought about that? Like, before you want justice for someone else, I just want you to think about, what if God judged you when you were at your worst? I think that the cool thing about God is he shows his desire to save is greater than our deservedness of punishment. And so his desire to save is greater, and that shows us the heart of God. Even though this city of Nineveh is so wicked, even though it's so terrible, God still has a desire to save it. The value of a soul. It doesn't matter how far they've gone. It doesn't matter if they're the same team, the same race, the same whatever. God still sees value in the soul. And therefore, as believers, we need to always check ourselves. Does our heart line up with his? Do we see the value of a soul? Or do we kind of castigate people and say, well, they're too wicked. They're just too far gone. They're too mean. They've done so much. No, I think we want to be judged not at our most worst point in our lives. I think we want to see, hey, God was willing to save us even when we were at our worst. And then I see Jonah had this desire to run. He had this desire to run. And I was kind of fascinated by that because I was like, why would you run from God? Have you ever thought of what it would be like? And this is the way my brain thinks, so forgive me, indulge me. Have you ever thought of what it would be like to play like childhood games with God? Has anybody ever like thought about that? Like imagine playing tag with God. Like that would be terrible, right? He's like, I'm everywhere. How are you gonna win? Hide and go seek with God. He's like, okay, I'll count to eternity. I still know where you're at. I mean, think about it he's God, right? Like you can't beat God. So why would you ever run from God? That'd be futile to run from God. And yet, I wonder if anybody else will be able to relate to this point. You see, in order to gain some perspective, I need to break it down for you. Jonah, when he got on the ship to go to Tarshish, he was saying, I want to get as far away from here as I can. I want to run as far as I can. Just to give you some perspective, God told him, if we were using Frisco as our hometown of Jonah, he said, I want you to go to Kansas City, okay, roughly 500 miles away. And instead of going to Kansas City, he bought plane ticket to go all the way to Bogota, Colombia, okay? It's South America, okay? If you don't, I know people are like, where's that at? A long ways away, okay? 2,500 miles away is where Tarshish was. And it's actually worse than that because Tarshish was the furthest known city. So it more like would be in the analogy would be to say he was going to Siberia, Russia, okay? He wants to go to the most remote place possible. He's like the old Southwest commercials, you want to get away? And that's, he's like in his mind, he's like, I just want to get away. I just want to run. And I started thinking about the psychology of it because, you know, he could have just stayed in Joppa and he could have just like, hey, I could be just as disobedient in Joppa as I can going like all the way over there to Tarshish. Like, what is it about the psychology of when we rebel, it's not enough just to stay. We want to go further. We need to get further away. Think about that for a moment. Do you ever have this tendency to run? Are there any runners in here? Like whenever things get difficult, you want to run away from God? He's willing to go five times as far to get away from God. And you know that that little ship that he got on was like us getting on a flight. Cost of going to Kansas City, $50 in gas. Cost of flying to Siberia, $3,000 if you get a cheap flight. You understand what I'm saying? The opposition to God always costs more than obeying God. And so he's willing to pay a fare on a trip that he's never going to take. I want you to think about that. My goodness, how many people in here, when you want something that's other than God's will, you're wasting your resources. You're wasting resources. How many of us could fix our finances if our finances were lived out in faith, in obedience, rather than in opposition to God? It's amazing how these things are interconnected, but we live as though they are not. And so he's trying to get as far away as he can. You know, I think that many of us can relate to this, that escapism often leads to extremism. So it wasn't enough just to sit here because he gets antsy. It's like when you're in disobedience, you can't just stay in like this neutral, static place. You'll always start moving further and further and further away from God. It's kind of like your job. If you hate your job, which many people hate their job, sadly. If you hate your job, you're like, man, I just can't wait to get on vacation, right? And it's like, in your mind, you're just like counting down the days. Okay. I gotta get away. I gotta get away from this place. This place is driving me crazy. I gotta get away. It's like I gotta get to the beach. I gotta get to the mountains. Wherever it is, I gotta get away. If anybody has children in here, do you ever want to get away from that? Anybody? Anybody? I feel like Target is like Mecca. Like, you know, like I think like a lot of moms like escape to Target. It's like I'm just gonna run to Target for 5 hours. I just gotta get away from these children. Just get away. Target! No one knows me like you do, Target. Marriage. You ever gone through a season where you just want to get away from them? I'll guarantee you, my wife, sometimes I drive her crazy. I like hover in the kitchen. If I like mess with her any, or just hug her. She's, get away from me! Can't you see I'm doing things? She's not a toucher. I'm all warm and fuzzy. She's like, get away. Anybody else like that? Anybody else? Get away. Get away. Whenever things aren't going so well in our home lives, sometimes we start wanting to escape. We can be in the same house, but be very, very far away in our hearts. We got to watch that, right? That desire to escape. That desire to run from God. I don't think it's ever gone well for anyone that ran from God. I don't think anybody's life has ever gotten better as a result of running from God. The psalmist wrote these words. David writes this sentiment, and David knew a little bit about being on the run. And I thought I would ask this question. Final question of this section, can we escape the presence of God? Is that even possible? He says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. Can I help you out? Can I help you out this morning? I don't know what you're running from. I don't know what part of his will that you're trying to get away from. But I have a spoiler alert. It doesn't matter where you run. It doesn't matter how far you run. It doesn't matter what you do. You may indulge yourself for a little while, but I promise you, when you get to the end of you and you've done the things that you think are going to make you happy that are in opposition to his will, when you've wasted instead of following in obedience, I promise you, when you wake up on that day, his presence is still there. It's still going to be there. It's still going to be calling you back. It's still going to be saying, come on, we only get one life. I want you to think about how you're spending it. Quit running. You're not going to get away from him. He's still going to be saying, hey, don't you think my way is better than your way in your marriage? Hey, don't you think my way is better than your way in your parenting? Hey, don't you think my way is better than your way? And maybe the reason why you hate your job is because you're not passionately following after me. Because when you're passionately following after me, you can be excited about the mundane because you can know that it has greater purpose because you're taking the money that you're making from that job, but that you have more to invest in the kingdom of God. I mean, you see what I'm saying? The little things can start to have meaning whenever they're in line with God's will. Quit running. Quit running. You could be in church and yet running from God. Isn't that crazy? You could be sitting in church and you're like, no, I'm not doing that. And God's going to wake you up tomorrow. I was like, guess what? I'm not going to stop asking. I'm not going to stop moving your heart. Every time you come to church, you feel bad. It's because you haven't said yes. It's because you're running, even though you're doing the right thing. You're sitting in church, but you're running in your heart because you haven't surrendered. You don't serve. You don't give. You don't trust. You don't share communion. You don't do anything. You just come to church. No, that's not the end game. It's got to be more than that. When you go to sleep tonight, his presence is going to be there. It's pushing you. When you wake up tomorrow, his presence is going to be there. It's pushing you. He's trying to get greatness out of your life. He's trying to get glory out of your life. So let's dispense with the sophomore type of thought that you can run and get away from God. It says that Jonah, he boards this ship. In verse 4, it says, the Lord sent this great wind on the sea. I love it. I love getting to see it play out. And there was such a violent storm that arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck where he lay down and he fell into a deep sleep. The captain went in to him and said, how can you be asleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us so that we will not perish. Now I want you to see that two people are experiencing the same scenario, But they're having two different perspectives, all right? The sailors are offering solutions. And I'm going to make a point today called sailor solutions will not solve your problems, okay? So if you're listening to the sailors in your life, if you are a sailor, then this is your perspective of the storm, okay? Your perspective is we have got a weather issue, right? This storm blows in, wham! And the storm is like the ship is starting to, I don't know if you've ever been on a boat where there's a storm, but like it starts making noises. Like you ever been in a house where like a tornado, some of the high winds, you ever heard like noises in your house that you've never heard before? It's like storms will make things move in ways that they're not supposed to move. And here these sailors are getting worried. And if they're getting worried, it's time to be worried. I was on a trip one time and we were out in the middle of the woods and the guy, that one of the guys that I was with, no wood experience whatsoever, right? Just like, just, you know, dumb and happy, following behind. And all of a sudden we heard a noise, and it was a noise of something large. Let's just say a bear. And so in the middle of the night, and all of a sudden I turned around and I looked at him, and the guy looked back at me, and I said, "Are you worried?" He goes, "Well, I wasn't worried until it looked like you were worried." It's like, hey, whenever you see a sailor get worried when there's a storm, it's time to be worried. And so they said, there's a weather issue. If we could just get through this season, if we could just get through this weather, then we can make it through to the other side. See? What if you have a sailor's perspective in here this morning and you think it's a weather issue? You're just riding it out. You're just waiting for the wind to die down. You're waiting for the rain to stop. And you're just holding on while your ship is breaking apart. Not only did they think it was a weather issue, they thought it was a weight issue. Did you see that? They took the cargo and they're like, started throwing stuff. Like, if we could just lighten the load a little bit, then we can make it through to the other side. Oh, gosh. Weight issue. I see a lot of people thinking like, oh, you know what? My life's so busy. It's so busy that I need to get rid of some weight. And the mistake I see them make oftentimes is they're throwing away the wrong things. Instead of getting rid of like, oh, you know what? That whole Sunday thing, it's taking up more of our time. If we just had another day to relax. How about get rid of a sport for your kids so that you have more time to worship God? And the church said, amen. Like, quit worshiping at the God of dance when you could be worshiping God, and maybe that would help solve some of the stress that's in your life. I would not throw away the things of God. That's not part of the weight that you want to get rid of. It's kind of like people when they're going through a divorce. You ever seen someone going through a divorce? You notice that they start dropping some weight usually when they're going through. Anybody else notice this? It's like, man, they're back in the gym. And they think like, if the weather just passes and I get to the next person, and if I just lighten the ship a little bit, that if I take care of the weather and I take care of the weight, it'll solve my problems. All my people in here that have gone through it, seen it, watched it, seen the rerun, let me ask you a question. If you change the weather and you change the weight, but you don't change what's on the inside, does anybody think that that forecast is favorable? Anybody? No. Because what the sailors didn't realize, it wasn't a weight problem, it wasn't a weather problem. You know what it was? It was a worship problem. It was a worship problem. Jonah had a worship problem. Wait a minute. Here are innocent people stuck in your storm. Do you see that? Jonah was disobedient, and they were stuck in his storm. They didn't even do anything wrong. Now I'm going to just take one shot this morning at the Christian self-righteous mentality. Because I hear church people say all the time, like, oh, our culture and how bad our culture is. And like, you know, it's just going like to hell in a handbasket. Da, 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 da. Whose fault is it? Is it a lost culture acting like a lost culture? Or is it God's culture that has lost its way, that is asleep in the bottom of the ship while they're running around for their lives? Is the storm our fault or is it their fault? Maybe it's Christians that have fallen asleep because they've lost the value of a soul. They're stuck in our storm. Until we worship God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, until we fall in love with what he's in love with. And I'm telling you, his number one love is souls that are hanging in the balance, calling upon a God. Even the most wicked city, Nineveh, he wants to give them a chance to be saved. And I think sometimes as believers, we've ran from God, we've ignored God, and we're down in the ship, asleep. Can you imagine the irony of him waking up? It's crazy. It's like you walked in here today just to go to church, but you got more than that already. I'm going to go ahead and finish it on up now. You thought you'd just go visit a church. And then God has a word for you that was, it's just irony that it fits where you're at, right? Just irony. Imagine Jonah has decided, I'm going to Siberia. I'm getting as far away from here as I can. Goes down to the bottom of the ship. He's asleep. Doesn't even know what's going on. He's just chilling, right? Everybody else is freaking out. And the captain goes down below deck and he's like, hey, what are you doing? How is it you're asleep? And then like you can hear God in almost like a kind of a proud father moment where it's like, I told you so. He's like, so did you enjoy your nap? Did you enjoy that? Did you enjoy that down there? Huh? You know, you can have false peace for a moment, but you're always going to wake up to a storm when you're running from God. You might sleep good for a night. You might sleep good for a couple of nights, but guess what? You're waking up to a storm because you're in opposition to his will. Now, the irony is this. The very thing that he was running from, he said, I don't want to go preach to those people. I don't want to go preach to those people, right? Is the same word that he wakes up to. You have a lost person telling the man of God to call upon your God so that we won't die. The very thing that God wanted him to do in Nineveh is the word he wakes up to on a ship when he's trying to get as far away from God as possible. What I'm trying to say is that God is redundantly, repetitively going to give you the same message over and over and over again. No matter how far you run, no matter how high you go, how deep you go, how far you go, he's going to keep saying the same thing over and over and over and over again. Are you going to give me your life? Are you going to give me your life? Are you going to worship me? Are you going to do it my way? Are you going to do it your way? Hey, I'll be up here tomorrow. You go to sleep tonight? You wake up? I'm going to be there. When you go to work, I'm going to be there. Next week, I'm going to be there. Because God isn't going to quit on you. I hope that you'll respect it today and understand that there are lost people frantically running around in this world waiting for the weather to change, throwing away things that they think is going to save them. And guess what? There is nothing that they can do. Because without God, they have a wrong interpretation of the situation. They believe it's weather, they believe it's weight, but it's worship. And until we change their God, they're not going to make it out of that storm. How awesome would it be if we allowed God to get our attention? Who sent the storm? God did. Now, not every storm that you face in your life is a result of disobedience. Sometimes we live in a fallen world and fallen things happen. But sometimes when you run, God sends a storm. And he says, this storm, it's not going to stop until you turn around. That's my message I want to give to you today. That storm, it's not going to stop until you turn around. You want to get out? You got to stop. You got to obey. And you got to love those souls more than you love yourself. And if you do Christianity that way, it's beautiful. It's passionate and it's compassionate. And I hope today every believer in here, you would be thinking, how am I living? How am I giving? How am I sharing? How am I prioritizing where I reflect the value of the souls that are perishing around me? I hope it would be an indictment on us all that maybe we would hear the world this morning crying out to us, are you going to wake up and call upon your God so that we don't perish? Man, I think if we all align ourselves with the value of a soul around us, man, our Christianity will mean so much more. Would you pray with me? Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that you would give us your heart. God, for all my runners in the house, I hope that they hear you loud and clear. I hope you have found them. I hope that you've startled them out of their slumber. That maybe because of busyness, stress, whatever excuse we want to make, maybe they've been lulled to a false peace. That it's okay. That it's okay to run. That it's okay to move away. That it's okay to create distance in our most important relationships. God, I pray that they would realize before it's too late. They're trying to talk themselves into the next marriage. The next marriage, that one will be better than this one. But what if you both changed to worship in this one? Maybe it'd be different than it ever has been. Have you tried that? Have you tried giving God all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind? Husbands, have you tried to love her the way that Christ loved the church and laid himself down for her? Tim, what are you trying to say? I want to win. I want to win. No, you want to win or you want to be married? You want to win or you want to lose your kids? No. If you want to be like Jesus, you're going to lose. You're going to lose. You're going to say, I love her no matter what. I love my kids no matter what. It'd be amazing if we loved them like Jesus loved them, how we could overlook all the little things that keep getting in the way. Quit running. Quit running today. Turn around. Turn around before it's too late. Listen to me, I'm telling you, someone, look at my eyes right now. You don't even have to bow your head. Look at my eyes right now. Someone, I'm going to tell you right now. That storm, that's not work. That storm, that's not just somebody giving you a hard time or someone has a grudge against. That's not what that is. That storm is God. That's God sending a storm saying, hey, I want your attention. I have plans for your life. And if you don't turn around, we're going to have to take it up to the next level. Man, I want there to be peace before you leave this place. And you got to say yes to God if we're going to make that change. Would you guys stand and worship with us?